I want to know everything there is to know about you.
Now I'm going to introduce me.
You must have spotted her by now. She's always there.
Don't I deserve love?
Somebody has to like me best.
Hello and welcome to the Don't Know Her podcast. I am Scott.
And I'm Michael.
And we are here once again to talk about a star that we are choosing to single out and discuss. They're a star of the big screen, in some cases the little screen, but we're here to focus on the big one. And as part of our ongoing mini-series where we are predicting future Oscar nominees, I throw it to Michael to tell us who he has brought and why he thinks such a thing.
So this is our second to last episode in this thinking, and this person I put forward really because he could have been and should have been an Oscar nominee this year. For the film Past Lives, and it is John McGarrow.
Fabulous.
And he has been in so many films. He's been in films that I've watched plenty of times and I didn't realise he was in them. And I think maybe he's the most don't know her actor for me that we're going to do ever.
Okay.
He might be one of our least famous actors either that we've ever done, would you say? But maybe Past Lives now has opened the door in a big way.
No, that's a good point. Maybe. But yes, it feels like because of Past Lives there's momentum. So, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. And he's also brilliant in like more leading roles in other things like First Cow. He's been in, you know, Showing Up, that came out recently, depending where you are. In the UK, it just came out now, but elsewhere it's come out other places. The Big Short, Carol, Angelina Jolie-directed film Unbroken.
Mm-hmm.
He's an award-winning actor. So, yeah, I think he has everything that you need to be a celebrated performer.
Yeah.
And he just had that energy as well. Like, I don't know if you listen to interviews with him. He's kind of from, he's like a Woody Allen-esque sort of like, complains about the work and says no good, but then has clearly thought a lot about it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's kind of listening to him, you're like, what? Like, you've done the work, and it's kind of a way of, he has a lot of confidence in himself, but is hiding it behind this sort of like,
he's a big faker.
No, I don't know, but I don't know. It's interesting because I'm like, God, you are really into the art. Like, you really are into it as much as you're saying you're not into it. That's basically an overly complicated way of saying he sounds very actorly.
Okay, he's an actorly actor.
Yeah, he would easily. I don't know how he could have lost a nomination for Past Lives. I guess Past Lives in general maybe underperformed
sure.
in terms of awards. But I thought he would have been a shoe-in to be nominated
for
Best Supporting Actor.
You did say it. As soon as it was out and you'd seen it, you said it. So.
And if you reverse the roles, whoever that woman was that would have played that wife that had to be there while the husband was discovering themselves, they would have been nominated for sure, I think.
Okay.
I love Past Lives, so we'll talk about that. I mean, Greta Lee, to me, should have won Best Actress, so she wasn't even nominated. So, anyway, throwing all this shit out now. What do you think? How do you remember him? I was going to say,
how do you remember him?
He's not dead.
Well, no, he is, and, well, hopefully.
No, he's not.
You know,
fucking
sometimes
no.
There's some time between this going out. I hope that's not the case. He is a don't know her actor in that I too know him from many things. So his face was always familiar. So when I saw him in First Cow a couple of years ago, that was very exciting because it was like, okay, this chap who I have seen in many things, couldn't tell you any of those things I've seen him in, but I know his face very well. And he was just so brilliant.
Mm.
So knowingly, First Cow, which is very recent, but Carol, yes, for sure, but wouldn't have necessarily picked up on the fact it was him and Carol. I mean, his part in that film is fairly brief in the grand scheme of things. But, yes, he's an exciting one to talk about. And I'm excited to talk about him because I do think he is a good proposition for this miniseries. And that on this one, I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't know who else we did. But anyway, I'll take that stab in the back. Yeah, I think he will be an Oscar nominee at some point. He also would strike me as, I don't know, like he might write or something. Like he could do something else.
He loves the craft.
He loves the craft. But yeah, he's a character actor in a way, or supporting actor probably more so, because I think he kind of plays similar people, similar characters, and seems to be drawn to similar things, which is no slight. But as we go through it, I think we'll see a through line of sort of anxious men that reflect today.
Mm, yes, exactly. I think that's a really good point. And I think in past lives, he very much feels that. He feels incredibly relatable. I think they all do in that in their own ways. But there's something about him which I do find very relatable as a person. He seems far cooler than I do. But there's something about his, there's a real kind of loyalty and understanding, and you hope what it is emotional intelligence, and he has a real openness to what is potentially quite a tricky situation, and one that would be difficult for someone in his situation to navigate. But I think he does it with such grace, but still with clear discomfort.
Yeah.
But he doesn't make that a problem. He just sort of wears it on his sleeve, but no more than that. And I think he brings a lot to it, to elevate that anyway. If it was in someone else's hands, I don't know if I would necessarily feel what I'm describing now, but I think that's a real knack for getting under that one.
You have said so much. Firstly, I've watched Past Lives an awful lot. I think I've seen it 4 times. Actually, Letterboxd told me yesterday I watched it 4 times.
Dude.
Last night was my
good
4th. He is not a character I relate to.
Mm.
You can probably guess which character I relate to more.
You relate to her.
Yeah. But I wish to meet someone like him in a way.
Well,
but like that character would never admit that. Like, I don't think she admits to herself. Anyway, we'll get into Past Lives. But you're right. I think all of them are so beautifully portrayed, like written, performed, realised. And he is certainly, he has a lot going on. A lot going on. Very vague way of saying he is excellent. Like, they all should have been Oscar nominated.
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
But anyway, let's we cannot we
We're
cannot start
already.
We cannot, like, 7 minutes in, just talk about Past Lives. Because we have a whole life to go through.
God, he is dead.
He is. Weirdly, when people start being born in the 80s, it makes me feel old, and I realize I'm close to their age. Does that happen to you? I know you're younger than me, but
I'm far too young to be concerned about that.
Anyway,
the 80s? God, that's ancient.
Well, he was born in 1983.
God.
On the 16th of February in Ohio.
Ohio.
Sorry, is that I hope that's not a real song or offensive to somebody.
Where in Ohio?
I don't know. That to me does not matter.
Mm. I've been to Ohio.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And to anyone that has been to Ohio, I'm really sorry that I'm struggling to say the name.
This research is lacking.
Yeah. And his father is of Italian descent, and both his father and mother were teachers.
Good.
That's all I got for you.
No, but that's good. I like that. Teachers in Ohio, it's colouring him in. I feel it. This makes sense.
And in school, he was attracted to drama. He was in the local theatre. And he was also in television commercials and an episode of Rescue 911.
Okay, brilliant. My favourite.
And then, don't know. I looked at pictures. It looked fun. Like,
oh, sure.
After high school, he went to study theatre at the Point Park University in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And he says, although this is where I get into the actual stuff, because I did find it hard to research him, because there's basically a big gap. But he had no expectations on having a career as an actor, but somehow made it work.
Oh.
Which I'm sure is true, but also like a lot of rejections, a lot of shitty jobs, a lot of working in all sorts of retail positions and whatnot. And good for him, because do you know what his first film was? Like any film, not his lead role.
You know what, I didn't do my research, so shall I just throw out a name?
What,
A Bug's Life.
A Bug's Life, no. What about, let's do it this way, what 2-time Oscar winner would you want to make your film debut in 2007?
What Oscar winner?
Two-time
two-time Oscar-winning Best Actress. Would I... Sally Field.
Second then. Second Sally. And not Meryl Streep.
Two-time Best Leading Actress.
Oh, yeah, I would have Oscar said winner.
Jane Fonda.
No, okay. It was Jodie Foster.
We're not going down the road.
Anyway, it was The Brave One, directed by the Irish Neil Jordan.
Okay.
I would have seen it at the time.
I didn't think it was as old as that. 2007?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's The Brave One. Then he was in The Box. So he's in these quite big movies.
Yes,
the Cameron Diaz movie about...
The Richard Kelly film.
Press a button and something bad will happen.
Yeah.
Does someone die?
I went to see it at cinema and I can't remember
same.
An ounce of it. But
I remember the poster. A lot of red and white.
Yes.
He wasn't on the poster. And then also My Soul to Take in 2010, which was a very successful horror movie that I've never heard of. But it is 2012's Not Fade Away, where he becomes known to the industry. And that's a film... I forced you to watch because I thought it was more your wheelhouse than mine.
My God.
Discuss.
Not Fade Away. Okay, tells the story of... what's his name in it? Doug? Is his name Doug?
Yep.
Let's go with Doug.
The
story of this young chap played by John McGarrow. Who is playing in a band. We're back in the 60s. We're seeing the sort of British invasion of music coming over to America. So you've got the Stones and the Beatles and all of these lot taking over the scene. And the Stones being a particular reference point here. And he is playing as part of this band, but maybe has a desire... kind of enforced upon him by his father to join the army. Anyway, goes off to university, immerses himself in that world, returns a musician. And it is only on that track from there as him and his kind of band try to make it. And we see his relationships that come from that, both within the band and outside of the band, and how they impact his life and how that impacts his family life. So a fairly run-of-the-mill music drama of this kind of nature.
But there is no drama.
There is
I think the reason I really did want you to watch it when we were talking about, like, you know, what would we catch up on for this, is because I really struggled with, like, you know, the conflict was very... It was a very episodic, so suddenly it was like, now this is a problem because this person's better vocalist lead. Now, what the stakes are to that is irrelevant to anyone but who's in that room, surely. I mean, I just didn't get it. But what I did get and really did enjoy, A, was his performance, very good.
Really great.
And
I think
because he's trying to find his place in the world, and I wish the film went with that line of... a character-driven piece,
mm-hmm.
to be honest, rather than this music-focused thing.
Yes.
And him with James Gandolfini as his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one scene in particular which... James Gandolfini's kind of like... They don't like each other because he's like, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you should be doing more traditional stuff, you shouldn't be wearing heels. And
fruity shoes or whatever.
Yeah, fruity shoes. There is homophobic thing. Although it feels like something comes around, doesn't it? There's something queer positive towards the end? Or am I making that up?
I mean, he certainly comes and warms to him.
Oh, yeah, sorry, James Gandolfini. But yeah, there is a few things like faggy shoes. Or is that what they say?
I think they
Yeah, something
do.
Like that. But the scene is where...
But that's fun.
Well, who's it fun for? I don't know. But James Gandolfini... Well, he played a gay man in The Mexican. let's not forget. So he's an ally. He does it really badly. Have you ever seen The Mexican?
No, I haven't.
Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt.
Oh, gosh, why have I not?
It's bad.
That's a question I ask myself.
Anyway, there's a scene where James Gandolfini tells John's character, who plays his son, like, I want to leave your wife. Or I was going to leave your mother because I've met someone and all this.
What would she do?
What do you mean, like, you'd go there, or she would come here?
No. Your mother. What would she do?
I don't know. I'd take care
of
her.
Would that guy go to Scotland for the scotch?
Ted, I was saying that I would take care of Mom.
You know, they're still pulling lobsters out of New York Harbor.
And again, I was like, this is the film. Like, these are the stories. And the performance, particularly of James Gandolfini, is really lovely.
Yeah, he's
good. And he's always good. But so, yeah, he did, John won the Spotlight Award at the Hollywood Film Awards for Not Fade Away. So it was a pretty big deal and an exciting time. He mentioned it being an exciting time.
Yeah, I bet it was.
And it did lead to more high-profile films. So we have Unbroken, the Angelina Jolie film. Did you see that?
Nope.
I saw that in the cinema. It was released at Christmas. I remember going to Dublin. I must have been there and like needed to do something with my time. Sorry. I feel like that's a real insult. And that was the only film on. And it's a long slog of a film. It's not the worst thing. But God, there's a lot of men in it. There's a lot of men of a certain age. Like, you name them. Jack O'Connell, Donald Gleeson, anyone of that age group was probably in that movie. And so I don't remember him. And Carol, and The Big Short in 2015. Carol, now it's funny, because I've seen that nearly yearly since it's come out. And I do remember that character.
Yes.
Because he has all this, longing.
Mm.
This longing in his eyes.
Yeah.
For...
Today's.
Rooney Mara. Why are we doing that accent?
It's just hard to say that name without it.
He has that Not Fade Away. He has this sort of longing that is both not proactive, but also not, annoying to watch.
Mm.
And that's a hard thing to do, because you're like, just get the fuck up and do something.
Yeah.
But in Carol, it's reutilized in, as you've said already, a very small part.
Yes, it is. But he is great. I mean, we never really get a chance to talk about Carol. I don't think we have yet. So Carol's one of the best films of all time.
Yeah. We have to do Sarah Paulson at some point. Why we didn't do her for this is wild.
Yeah, we should have.
She will be an Oscar nominee.
She will be. That is a good point. We should have. Anyway, we will get to Carol. But for now, one of the best films of all time. And he's a wonderful part of an amazing ensemble.
Oh my God, they're all so good. Yeah. And then, so The Big Short. He actually was nominated for the Ensemble Awards.
And he is memorable in The Big Short.
He is memorable.
Yeah. So...
After you. He's so memorable.
But I can't tell you.
Do you know what I remembered most? Was that he was in it.
He was there. Well, no, because now that you're saying The Big Short, and I said that I knew him from First Cow, but The Big Short came out long before First Cow. And therefore...
But he was shaped in that. So I wouldn't remember him.
No, blank. But I mean, that's a huge ensemble of people. I don't have too much to say about it because I didn't rewatch it specifically. However, he does stand out. He has got one of the meatier, more screen time roles within a very large ensemble of people and big names. I mean, I'm a fan of The Big Short. I find it really entertaining, and I enjoy it a lot when I watch it. You're shaking your head.
I remember Margot Robbie in a bath.
Sure, that's memorable.
And I remember Ryan Gosling in a suit.
That is also memorable.
And yeah, that's funny. I should have watched a trailer or something. Barbie. Yeah, exactly. Don't even put that together. Really bad. But yeah, I'm not drawn to that sort of movie. But I must... Surely it will come up. Next time, if anyone does listen to us properly, when we do an actor that's in The Big Short, even if they're small, I will watch The Big Short.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad that I don't know.
Yes, I feel like we should have probably rewatched it for this, actually. And I was going to, but what's the point in seeing that now? Because I didn't. But I'm a fan, and he stands out in that film amongst a very high calibre of
stars.
Male performers.
Male performers. Speaking of you not remembering he was in something that you knew earlier than you thought, I used to love Orange is the New Black. And he was quite...
Oh my God, of course he is.
Yeah.
See, it's all... Now this is just going to happen with every film you say. Of course
so,
he is, yes.
Annoying, I haven't written down the names, but he is some... There's that character who is writing to men and basically trying to get money from them, pretending to be whatever, and that she'd marry them. But she genuinely falls in love with this wonderful man. And they have this romance. They get married. It's a wonderful story. I didn't continue to Orange is the New Black, so I have no idea where it went to. But God, did that bring me joy.
There we go. So it's all making sense now. So maybe the answer was Orange is the New Black. I'm going to change my answer every time you mention it.
Big Short and Orange is the New Black both happened in 2015.
Okay.
And Carol.
That was the year.
What a year. He's also in The Good Wife which I never actually
heard. Yes, which I've also seen all of. So
and he was a big part of Woody Allen's Amazon Prime series, Crisis in Six Scenes.
Let's move on.
No, well, I never watched it. Nope. And I would have been the prime audience for a Woody Allen thing. I don't know why then, because I did like...
I've completely blanked.
Yeah,
that was
it's absolutely not. So anyway, he was in these Woody Allen TV series. And then he was back in film in 2018 with Overlord. Sorry, the way I said it, I feel like Overlord, I've written in caps, so I feel like it was a big movie.
Overlord. Not even a bell in my head is...
Not a bell. Well, that's a general thing, but do you know Overlord? I would hope you don't have a bell. So then we have First Cow in 2019.
Yeah.
First Cow is wonderful. Are you a Kelly Reichardt fan?
Yes, I am. I like Kelly. I will say that I'm not a completist, so I don't want to lay claim to have seen all of Kelly's films, but the films I have seen, I am a big fan. Yes.
Yeah, so this is probably ranks really highly. I've only seen a few, and some of them I don't like.
Which ones? Meek's Cut Off.
Name and Shame. I haven't watched Meek's Cut Off. I have watched Wendy and Lucy.
Yeah, and you don't like Wendy and Lucy?
I saw it in the cinema, this is years ago when it first came out, and my boyfriend at the time, he and me were like, we could have watched Paint Dry. Maybe I need to rewatch it now. Do you think I'd really like it? She just wanted to get that dog back, and we had to watch it for 90 minutes.
Well, I mean, you sound like you've got a good grasp on it.
And I only watched it that one time.
That is the film. But no, I think it is a really special film, actually, Wendy and Lucy.
Well, I'm so sorry. I should. That's why aren't we naming and shaming these films? Well, you asked me. You put me that in the corner. But I love... This is my favourite of her films.
Yes, probably mine too. I do love Certain Women, but not... I don't think it's as strong as this. No. I think that's more got moments, a.k.a. Lily Gladstone, Kristen Stewart's segment in that film, which really stands out. First Cow is... all round beautiful. And I would say her most accessible film, probably...
Once you get past the first bit, because rewatching it, I was like, oh, I forgot that we have this like contemporary bit that then goes into...
Oh,
you know, like it's almost
yeah,
like
no,
you're going...
Oh, no,
I know. So I'm just saying about accessibility in terms of... like, if you were like, what is this
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, what's going on? Why is this...
But then once it gets into the story... I love it. No, I do.
Yeah.
And it has, the cast is... Like, we will be talking about this film again, I assume. Like, Toby Jones is in it. Oh my god, what's your one from that Search Party that I'm obsessed with?
Alia Shawkat.
Oh, like, there are so many people. Anyway, the story of First Cow is about Alia finding these bones in a contemporary setting. These bones then linking back to the past, where we discover these two... chefs, like, it's about friendship, the film.
Yes.
But these two people who can cook, they use a cow by the rich lord. Would you call him a lord, Toby Jones' character? Anyway, the rich man in the area.
Because he does have
and
a
what
title.
Time is it? God, I'm so bad with these, but it's like the start of America in terms of, like, English taking over and shit. So they have this cow, and they in the middle of the night go and take the milk from it to bake these cookies, and the cookies become really successful, so successful that they get the attention of the man who's in charge that owns the cow, who's complaining that the cow isn't milking properly. And it is such a gorgeous movie, again, yeah, about friendship, about why we need people, why we need milk. Sorry, this sounds like an anti-vegan podcast now.
Well.
But it is, it's wonderful. It's just, I don't really know how to describe it, because it's more about, to me, about tone and mood and energy. But the conversations between them are just gorgeous. Like, gorgeous things about why, like our friendship, or luckily the friendship I have, like, why we spend time together and we talk about nothing and yet it's everything.
I see something in this land I haven't seen before. Pretty much everywhere has been touched by now. But this is still new. More nameless things around here than you can shake an eel at.
doesn't seem new to me. Seems old.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There is just something about it's really pleasantly scored and paced. And when I say it's her most accessible film, this talking about Kelly Reichardt again, is that some of them feel a bit more sparse than this, but this one has a real sense of quite a neat, rounded little purpose. It is this sort of enterprise tale initially, these two people coming together to create a business and using their skills and a little bit of light theft to... To facilitate, well, that's a big deal. The first and only cow around. Their milk is very precious. But there's something very neat and simple about that, and even just the little details, like the joy of these bakes that everyone gets so much out of, and making the, what is it called again, clafoutis? At the request of the wealthy landowner played by Toby Jones. So it's just this neat, really lovely thing, and it's such an interesting way into that. It feels kind of against the grain of some of the stuff she normally does as a director, but also something it's almost like could be more contemporary, but the setting changes that, and that's why it becomes very unusual and quite standalone, is quite unlike anything I've seen. But yes, ultimately it's a tale of friendship. And it's really beautifully realised. And he is so wonderful in this. And his presence alone, and this is why when you talk about the kind of roles he plays, you see it very much here. But he just does it so well and has such a natural magnetism and warmth and humanity. It was when he just first appeared on the screen on the rewatch of this time, in those early moments, and I went, yes, Michael is right about this one. This is, I do believe that he is going to get an Oscar nomination, because there's something so natural, but unlike many other performers, he's bringing something that he does so well that not many others do, and it's a gorgeous thing.
It's a big recommendation in general, but for him, I mean, for all of them, really.
Yeah.
Lily Gladstone's also there.
She is,
lovely, very small part. Yeah, I agree. And I think in terms of accessibility and why the film is exciting is the threat of the character, like them being discovered, is exciting. And I guess it's a mystery because you're like, how did the bones end up here? And then this is where I guess it's less accessible. I guess, like, I can imagine, say, my parents, well, particularly my father, watching and being like, oh, that's how. Do you know, like, nobody was, like, shot or, like, no, like, in a big dramatic way, like, hanging off the roof of a thing. It was about friendship still.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. I also think films about cooking in general.
Oh, yes, heaven.
I mean, A Taste of Things, which I don't think we've ever talked about on this. When we do our Juliette Binoche podcast, because we somehow have fooled ourselves into thinking nobody knows who the fuck she is, we'll talk about Taste of Things for like 2 hours.
Yes, the best film of last year.
Well, honestly, I... fucking hell. Love, love, love A Taste of Things. So then in 2020, he's in a movie that nobody has really watched that is so wonderful. Sylvie's Love. Do you know the Tessa Thompson film on Amazon? I love that movie. And again, it's set in the 50s, I want to say. Could be 60s, but I think it's 50s. And it's beautiful. Like, I can imagine, like, visually beautiful. The story is this beautiful sort of Douglas Sirk-esque, but probably less sort of layered. But loved it.
Oh, good one. Okay.
And then in 2021, he was in a film which... I when I read the title, I was like, wow, this was a big deal, like, when we were building up to it, and then nothing has come of it. But the prequel film of The Sopranos, The Many Saints of Newark, I can't say that word, Newark.
Newark.
Newark. Why am I Newark?
No, that's how it's spelled, that's okay.
I'm sorry. When people get Irish names wrong, I'm like, idiots, where I'm like, Newark?
Newark?
Yes, which we didn't watch for this, but he was a big part of that. And he fits into that sort of world. Like, well, he already played James Gandolfini's son.
Yeah, so it just sort of all came back around.
But that was a big deal, but a huge flop. Well, I hate the word flop, but it didn't do as well as they would have expected.
Sure.
Which is funny. But what I did read about it was there was a huge resurgence in people being interested in the Sopranos TV show.
Oh,
so that's the reason. Well, it's coming. It's being released. So almost as if like for instance, my housemate didn't watch the new Ripley TV show. He watched the Anthony Minghella movie instead.
Oh, I see.
Because he said it would be more. This is probably better. And
he wants to hear the story, but doesn't want to watch that.
He didn't want to watch Andrew Scott. No, that's me. I'm bullshitting now. No, he. I don't actually know. Didn't question that, but. I'm just saying it works, guys. Redo your properties for no reason other than to promote your old ones.
There we go. Yeah.
And then in 2022, he's in Call Jane, which I really liked. You know, sure. The abortion film with Sigourney Weaver and Elizabeth Banks.
Yes, I had not seen it, but yes.
Again, the husband in that would be less, you know, he'd be very supporting. And then, and I'm going by the US release here, he's in Showing Up in 2022 as well.
No, that is barmy. Why are they claiming that to have been 2022?
Well, I am. Maybe I've missed.
No, it is. You're right. It's what I have written down too. But it was maybe in one cinema or something. It's.
Well, it was literally released in England. What, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, but it's even its main release in the US was 2023. I'm sure, and not even that early on. I don't think. Well, anyway, maybe I'm mixing things up. But it feels like a film from the last year. It feels new.
It feels new. Do you know? Feels like one of those new movies.
Yeah.
And we're back with Kelly again.
Back with Kelly.
Not one of her greatest hits, maybe, in terms of, I mean, it's taken so long to release.
I think people would argue. I mean, if you took hits as in, like, money-making, then
probably
not.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant release and stuff. Sorry, I just meant people.
No, this one seems to have disappeared in a way that normally they at least show up.
Showing up, ironic, isn't it, when it's taken you so long to turn up.
Yeah, exactly. I know who's not showing up. So maybe not her biggest hit, but
a hit with our minds and hearts.
And those who were bought in loved it. It seemed to go down very well
with
a large collection of critics. It's an interesting one. Michelle Williams as an artist, very much focused on her miniature sculptures of women. Very beautiful sculptures.
Gorgeous. Oh,
really
my
nice.
God,
I love them.
Didn't she do paintings as well? Oh, no, that's the... I'm getting confused now.
Yes, mainly... I can only recall the sculptures, but yes, I think so. And we kind of see her...
we're not showing up.
Bogged down in life in many ways. She has a part-time job where she works with her mum. She spends most of her other time working on her sculptures for an art show that she's putting on, which is kind of where the film is leading us towards. She rents from one of her artist colleagues, played beautifully by Hong Chau. And there is an incident with a pigeon where she spends a lot of time caring for the pigeon. And it feels like all of this dysfunction and tension amongst the people in her lives is interfering with her direction to get to where she wants to be with this show and focusing on her work. John Magaro plays her brother, who, talk about dysfunctional, is certainly struggling a lot in himself. The family believe he's a bit of a torture genius. His idea of art is a little bit different from hers, I would suggest.
Mm. Isn't he introduced by digging a hole?
He's introduced earlier than that, but the digging the hole moment comes in the first moment we kind of see him outside of the confines of the walls in which he lives in. But yeah, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of tension. But ultimately, I mean, the title of this film tells you a lot about where it's heading and the point and those in your life who show up or don't show up or what it looks like and in the end what matters and who showed up for Michelle. At the art show or in life. I thought it was great. I really liked it. And I think Michelle Williams was fucking really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good here. In a way that I've not... I mean, we've seen her play elements of this type before. Flatter, more dour, perhaps. A little more world-weary artiste sort. But she really nails it and brings so much to it.
Do you know what I think it is? She is usually cast in roles where she has to have, like, this resilience. Like, that's really the strength of the character.
Sure, okay.
Whereas in this, that's really dialed down. This woman is very, like, on the cusp of, we don't know if she's going to be able to, like, open the front door. And it's some, you know, like, that's the tone, which I think Michelle Williams usually was the one opening that door and doing it in a certain way. Even if, like, even when she's playing Marilyn, you know that she's have this
sure,
sort of inbuilt
yeah.
strength. And I don't know what it is about that performance or that sort of tone of the film. But yeah, she nails it. I will say, for me, the weakest part of the film is John. I think he overacts. I think he's doing too much of a, like... And maybe it's also, like, just, like, where is the proof that he's a tortured genius in this movie?
Mm.
So why, then, is he given this sort of cushion to be able to behave this way? And why has nobody stopped him at points?
Oh, wow. Okay, no, you.
Maybe.
I think you're overstating
no,
it.
No, but not opportunity. Maybe that's too far. But I just mean... But for, maybe for the tone of the movie, I found him
okay.
too much. Do you, do,
I disagree.
Maybe,
yeah, I disagree. I think... The character I have a dislike for, but
yes.
I think he's playing it really well. And when he's around, I'm like, oh, God, here he is. But in terms of what he's bringing, like, there's a moment towards the end at the art show where I did feel rather repulsed by him. But, I, you know, that is
yeah.
him sort of
that's
bringing this person to life. So, no, I thought it was great, and I was kind of glad to see him being someone a little bit less... alluring or warm, because we very often get that, and it does then make me think about where else I would like to see him and what other avenues we have. And Kelly obviously thinks very highly of his work, and maybe if she continues to cast him, she will continue to challenge and shake up what he's bringing, and I find that very exciting.
Yes.
But yes, I'm certainly far happier when it's Michelle and Hong Chao, etc., instead
yeah.
of
their
John's
conversations
character.
About, like, rent and stuff, absolutely love
it. It's great. It's very funny, considering it's so dry and she's such a kind of muted character, like, the colour's been sucked out of her life and focused on the art. It's really funny, and Michelle Williams is really funny
yeah.
in this kind of unusual, not surface way. It's very thoughtfully done, and yeah, it makes me want to see Michelle do more comedic things of this kind of ilk. It's very exciting to see. So yeah, I was very taken with that. I thought it was kind of a joy.
Yeah, and so funny that it's not
yeah,
really
yeah.
turned up anywhere,
yeah.
really, in terms of conversation and stuff. But anyway, people do like it, as you get critics like it, people have found an audience in a way. And one, like, Kelly will have this big moment, I've no doubt, at some point, and suddenly...
I think so, but it's...
But maybe not.
I don't know, it feels like... No, I think she will, but I'll just be very intrigued to see what that film looks like, because... I love that she kind of sticks to what she does, and she does it well, and that changes, but there's always a through line, and it's very much her. If there's going to be a moment that really takes off, be that in the awards scene, otherwise, what it looks like, I'll be fascinated
yeah.
to see, because
yeah, well,
it would
yeah.
bound to be special, but I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know what it'll look like.
Yeah. And she'd probably have to cast someone like Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, you know, that's where... But no, I don't think that will happen. But
no, but I think you're probably right in that there will be probably another hefty... If Michelle Williams can't bring it, who...
Well, this is it. We should live in a world where Michelle Williams
yeah.
is a draw that way.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, in 2023, he also had, if we're going by what you're telling me, by 2023... We have Big George Foreman.
The hell?
Leroy, Texas. Under the Boardwalk. And Days of the Fight. I've
not heard of any of these films.
And I did Google them all. So, like, different levels of success. But we also have Past Lives.
Not heard of that film.
I don't know who am I. Past Lives... is a movie that has had a huge success. You know, it was just Oscar nominated for Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay. It wasn't nominated for anything else, was it?
No,
like the Oscars.
That's not.
It did premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in 2023, and was picked up very quickly, and did become this sort of, I don't know, like, maybe I'm wrong because it's right in the type of films that I love, but it felt like it had this real buzz around it straight off the bat.
Yes.
So by the time, like, it wasn't released in the UK and Ireland until September, but they were doing these preview screenings because there was this sort of, like, energy of watching it. And it was already released in America, I think, in the summer. So Past Lives is a story of Nora, who at the start, we meet her as a 12-year-old kid, and her family are leaving Korea to go to Canada to give their children an better opportunity, a better way of living. Which is particularly gorgeous when you have this conversation that's happened with the mother has, where she talks about what they're going to give up because they're creatives in Korea and they know that they'll never be able to reach the level they're at in Canada anymore. So they're foregoing their lives and their opportunities for their children. So anyway, before they go, she has a play date or a date with the boy she fancies in school, Tay. Or Tay? I just read two words. In a T and
oh, no,
hey.
The act, yes.
No, the act, that's what I've done. Teo, is that him?
Yeah, Teo.
So, hey. So, it's date with Hey Sung.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's left at that. And we skip forward when we meet Nora in her 20s. Is it specific? It probably is specific and I can't remember that.
No, it doesn't specify, but I would
I'd say
yes.
20s. Mm-hmm. She's going there to be in the Big Apple, work in theatre, explore her creativeness. But is drawn into the past when she finds this Facebook message of Hey looking for her, Nora. They reconnect, they have an online virtual dating situation, like it gets quite intense,
mm-hmm.
But they have to end it because it's limited in where it can go, because he's not going to leave Korea and she's not going to leave America. She goes to a writer's retreat, she meets another writer, Arthur, played by John, and we then skip forward to see them married. But who's coming to New York? But Hey. And so we have a love triangle. What will happen? Who knows? And the film really is about what lives we can lead, what lives we choose, what is possible. Like, this feeds into a lot of my beliefs in lots of ways, but
okay.
I find it very therapeutic to reflect on and watch Past Lives, because it is about opportunity, really. And also there's a really positive spin on it, because it's suggesting that even if things don't happen in this life with someone or with something, it will happen in another life. There's a lot of conversations.
In Young,
yeah. Which is, if you brush off someone in any way, you have a connection to them in another life. Although one of my highlights is when she's describing this to Arthur when she first meet him at the writer's retreat, and he's really sincerely being like,
"You believe in that?"
"Believe what?"
"That you and I knew each other in another life."
"Because we're sitting here at the same table in the same city at the same time."
"Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't that make this in Yen?"
"That's just something Koreans say to seduce someone."
And I'm like, yeah. Use it. Like, I use Irish things all the fucking time, so I'm sure you're... sorry, any potential date or such. I'll try not to.
Yeah, look out for the signs.
So, when I start jigging around you. Irish jigging, not...
God.
So it's a wonderful film. I don't even know where to start, but I guess Arthur's character, which comes quite late into the film, is really crucial for all the reasons you described earlier. He is able to anchor sort of her life,
mm-hmm.
but then the story in terms of, like, this is your life now. This is your, you know, you can be a successful writer in theatre, and you can, you know, be with me, and we can have this, this is going to sound really like an ugly way to word it, but comfortable life in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is dominant in their relationship, and he'll do, like, if she says jump, he will jump higher than he can, you know?
True.
And I think he tries so hard to please her because he loves her so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, gorgeous to watch in a film. Like, he's learning Korean because she speaks Korean in her sleep.
It's very beautiful.
And he thinks he doesn't understand, like, the things that's locked off from him. And clearly there is, because she's locked off an awful lot.
Yeah.
And whether that's bad or good, it's up for discussion. But that he wants it in, it's not like a creepy situation.
No.
It, mostly, I would say. Well, I don't know. This is just my personal experience. Like, yeah, I'm sure you say it's nice now, but then...
Okay, then
I think... it's not so nice in the future. But no, he's very nice. And there's, you know, when he comes back... or comes to New York even, and then Nora comes back to the house and she's brushing her teeth and she's talking, and the shot is her in the bathroom and he's at the forefront putting away Tupperware, it's the dinner that I assume he's doing for her the next day.
Aww.
And he is listening, but he's kind of like not throwing his eyes up to heaven, but he's not entertained by her conversation, and then he outright asks, is he attractive?
I think so. He's really masculine in this way that I think is so Korean.
Are you attracted to him?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't think so.
And this back and forth is really special, that we don't see that in films very often. With any gender, like any same-sex couple, any sort of couple, like that is a real relationship dynamic which should be aspirational, do you know? Instead, I think most people hide away out of fear, whereas his character is not fearful. He's like, no, I'm going to confront this for that. Are you basically going to cheat on me, I think is what is there. And it's just really well performed, because he's not a doormat, but he's not powerful in the big way. Like, he's not domineering. I just think I think it's the script as well, but I think he's really, really, really special.
No, I think he is. I think it is a lot about him. Because it is a complicated part, in that you have to sort of believe it. Or maybe you don't, and maybe that can give you a different reading of the film than I had. But do you, watching it, does he make you understand why she's chosen a life with him?
Oh, but so Scott, I don't know if I can actually answer these questions. I find the film very upsetting.
Yeah.
That question is probably triggering a whole thing of terms of, I think I do understand.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think Taeyu's character Hae is the answer either.
Right. Okay.
I think
that's interesting.
I think she is someone hiding behind a mask a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And this relationship with John's character is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's gorgeous. I'm not going to spoil the ending,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's gorgeous how much he loves her and he gets purpose for his life through her.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I do see and understand why they're together, and that's a beautiful thing, and that's a happy marriage,
yes.
and all that. But I certainly think she is someone that maybe doesn't, I don't know, like, this is what's beautiful about it, because she's happy, she does whatever she likes, but she also has other avenues, she's so many opportunities, this woman.
Yeah.
And I think she is clearly gone with this man for specific reasons.
Yeah.
And that's grand, like, that's fine. But yeah, I find the film, I'm not saying my emotional stuff, is because that's what makes me think of, like, well, what are these things, and why do people want out of life? What do I want out of life? Why do certain people get attracted to others?
Yeah.
Like, why? And the film, and Celine Song is the writer director, and it's her first movie. Like, why is it so good? It's like, these are just snippets we're seeing of these characters. And that's the sort of impact it's had on me. It's like thinking of, literally, of like life decisions and goals. So I don't know, but he resonates more with you.
Yeah.
He'd be my nightmare of a person to be with, because I feel like I have kind of forced him into a relationship, and he is then like not guilting me, but it's sort of like this kind of circular thing.
That's
of,
so interesting. I hear you. I don't see the guilt or anything like that. I just see, I find him incredibly attractive in this because I think it is just, I think he's so open and understanding, genuinely, and like I said earlier, sort of is struggling through it. And I think is open about that, but wants to understand and wants to get to know the situation. I was watching it with my partner, and he was kind of squirming and being like, why would she go in this direction instead when we're kind of, we're first introduced to his character?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, I completely understand. Yeah. And the point of it is that because I fully understand it, that's why the film works so well for me, because it creates such a weight of conflict. But I like your point that it's maybe neither of these men, and both of these men have wonderful natures and have brought a lot to her life in different ways, but it is that she is this kind of a character who's tethered but maybe ought not to be tethered in many ways, and what that might mean. And there's moments in the film that are kind of cathartic emotional moments where it may be, it reads as something, and you could imagine it's an emotion in the moment itself, but you can imagine there's so much more going on behind it.
Oh yeah.
It's fascinating. I think it's gorgeous, and I think it's a film that it's paced so beautifully, and you like being there with the characters and following what unfolds. But it's a film for me that it's elevated tenfold by its last 20 minutes.
Oh, well, I was going to say at the beginning as well. So, and I think that's the real trick, to see three people and be like, what are they doing? And then reveal the story. But yes, I think the last 20 minutes, I think there's so much. Like, I saw this film in the summer in a packed cinema in very hot London. And I came out and I was like, this is amazing to me. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and could not wait to see it. And also, like, going through a breakup and watching it over, like, being in a relationship out of one or ending, and then all this, I was like, wow, like, this is an intense film. I think the other thing about those men, and like, you're going back to your question, is one is a very traditional Korean man and the other one is a very liberal New York person. So it's not that obvious in the movie, I guess, but this is the film's thing of like, do my tradition and my heritage or this future that I want for myself and my ambition. And so his character's wrapped up all in that. So it's incredibly well written and thought through. But I think my thing is, you kind of need neither. But the film is so good in those ways. And I don't, like yourself, I totally understand why she's been with him. Like, I've been in situations like that where I've been with people because of certain things making sense at the time, selfishly and sometimes not selfish. You know, it's a mixture of both, because it obviously would suit her to be with him, I assume, in lots of ways. But yeah, it's such a wonderful film, and I honestly, I just watched it yesterday. I'd watch it again whenever.
Yeah.
I find it really, also the music, and I know, like, oh, there's so many things. There's a wonderful scene, Nate's not in it, but where Greta Lee's character, Nora, is talking about them being plants in the same pot and their roots.
Yes, yeah.
And that's something I've thought about an awful lot since the first time I saw it, because I think that's a really important thing, to have space to grow. And I think that's where my understanding of the characters comes from in the film, is like, she wants independence, but she also does have the they're doing well because of each other as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're using the same water and the same sunlight and all this sort of thing. Sorry, just to drag that metaphor further in case nobody got that plants in the same pot with them, need these things. So yes, I really, really love it. And I also, to answer the question, I would totally have run away with Tae-woo, because I find him the most gorgeous man by the end. I think the more I watch it, the more I'm also like, I would leave everything. I would sacrifice it all just for 10 minutes.
Just for 10
minutes. It's the shirt he's wearing with the backpack.
It's
something incredibly... And also that he's incredibly handsome. Might also help. Yeah, but the shirt and the backpack, that's what I'll go with.
Oh.
And I do. John is grand in it. He's totally not my type. And like, I don't find him appealing as that character. Funny enough, I don't know why, but that character nor the costuming, I was going to say, well, but that matters. But I just don't find him appealing.
Okay.
But like, you get all those arty sort of types.
Yeah. It's a specific. It's intentional.
You can be arty and still wear a shirt with a backpack.
No, you can't.
I do. I'm going around all the backpacks.
Not that sort of shirt. You're not going around in a silk shirt.
Oh, no. Yeah, that silk shirt. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need a silk shirt. He's like Dora the Explorer.
It's a jarring image and pleasing.
So, just to round off about John in it, he... Was he nominated for anything? I don't think he was. Now I'm looking at the list. I thought he was nominated for something. He did not do well in any of the award ceremonies, really. Greta Lee turns up in a few. Tao turns up... He gets a BAFTA nomination as well, but in a few different places. The film, as we've mentioned, is Oscar nominated. But John just doesn't turn up. And I don't know why. I guess people are so obsessed with Poor Things and Robert Downey Jr. and Oppenheimer and Ryan Gosling. And they're pretty famous. I mean, there are a lot of famous people in Best Supporting Actor.
Yes.
And it's funny. It would be funny to be like Ken, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things, and Robert De Niro, and then This Past Life before. Like, that would be a weird mix. Only because John should be there and winning. But they're also big, those performances.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's still strange that he was never really in play. But fear not, because he has other movies coming.
Oh.
A film called The Shallow Tale with Steve Buscemi about a retired serial killer who acts as a consultant for an author writing about murders.
Oh.
Which sounds fun. I don't think it's going to bring an Oscar. And then a film called The Girl from Cologne. And then a film called Omaha. And the description of this plot is, after his wife's passing and being evicted, a broken-hearted father embarks on a road trip from California to Nebraska with his two children in search of healing, and he and his two kids find the help that they're looking for. So in my head, that could be something, but also it sounds like it could be not anything either.
Okay, so maybe there's potential.
And clearly, he's now going to be on the, you know, it's eyeline, but off the on dream list of filmmakers.
Yeah, right? You would think so.
People must have watched Poor Things, like Past Lives. They must watch both. But what have you going to suggest for his future?
Well, I think it's always lovely to see in these warmer parts, but I would like to see him do something maybe more sinister. I would be interested to see him reteam with Todd Haynes. I would love to see Kelly Reichardt do a swerve into something more sinister. I'm not sure I can imagine that happening, but if she wanted to, I'd be
like
very intrigued.
Thing. I think she could, but
it would
you
be
know,
fascinating.
Yeah.
But I can imagine him also getting a launch pad through something like, you know, like Matt Reeves, the Batman, and him casting all these sort of A24 type actors. I could fully see him in a world like that getting kind of the launch further into the eyes of everyone, and then having something else. Like, Past Lives is a fascinating film because of the success of its Sundance launch, and it's the importance of the festival circuit for films like that to suddenly have a platform, be seen by everyone, and be a really known film that, you know, people are going to see on the mainstream. If it didn't have that success, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know, the film would still be beloved, but it would have been a much smaller deal than it ended up being. I can see it kind of a trajectory where we do see him in things like that, and then him being kind of, again, sort of the matinee name, so to speak, for these Sundance-type films or similar that are going to be the talk of festivals, and then we see him really rise up. But it basically, something more sinister. I'm thinking Todd Haynes because tonally, I'm kind of interested in that world May December type situation and seeing how that would work. But that feels like a very obvious answer for me. I'm racking my mind now to think of someone else, but that's where it's at just now. So I'm gonna go with that. But what about you?
So I have someone else, but I'm going to say this person first. David Fincher.
Yes, great.
David Fincher.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, wouldn't he? Now, I'm obsessed with Mindhunter, but some sort of Zodiac killer-esque sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Yes.
I would love to see John do. But the person I actually wrote down is a filmmaker who, even though he won an Oscar this year, his first one, he should have been really celebrated for another film, Asteroid City, is Wes Anderson. And I think...
Yeah.
I know, obviously, Wes Anderson has a troupe of actors, but something about John McGarrow's style... Fit. Yeah, like, this sort of self-pitying, but also self-sort of confident sort of man who can express a lot through their face, I think would be a really special thing. And I am thinking, like, a man who has just had his children taken away and he's trying to adjust to his life.
My.
Like a new life without them and without his family. So, yeah, I did take it from a Claire Keegan short. Her short was adapted into The Quiet Girl on Colin Kuhn.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so late in the day. But I think he'd be really special in that.
Well, great.
So, yeah, that's what I would like to see. And yeah, I don't doubt he'll be an Oscar nominee. Maybe him and Aubrey Plaza will be Oscar nominees at the same time.
Yeah, that would make sense. I could imagine it. Same film, maybe.
I think their energy is so wisely. Maybe he'll be in the John Waters film that we're going to get one day with Aubrey.
That would be fascinating.
So yeah, well, thank you, Scott, as always, for...
Oh, I was going to say
for listening. For asking me emotional questions about
make me listen, I'm sure. So you're welcome for me listening to.
Gotta
bump those numbers.
And exactly. And please do rate and review us. It really helps people, other people find us even. And where can people go on social media to get us?
They can go on social media at @x/Twitter. Or Instagram at @don'tknowher_pod, or if you wish to drop us an email, you can do that at don'tknowherpod@gmail.com.
Yes, thank you all. And we'll be back with, I think this might be our best episode yet, is the next one.
Fucking hell, don't set that sort of expectation. That's crazy. We haven't even recorded it. It's going to be a pile of shit.
It's a really special person. You'll know this person. We're talking about a woman again because we've just done two men in a row.
God.
And... it's a really special person. I actually can't wait.
Yes, it should be a fun one, but let's not jinx it. It might be our most dull yet.
We'll end with a bang. All right, till then, guys. Bye.
Ciao, bye.